Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I was going to start in John, the Gospel of John 16:13, but I'm going to begin in verse 8. So let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 16. And let's start in verse 8. And today we are going to talk about one of the work of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is the Spirit being our teacher and guide, because we know the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. That's what the Word says. So let's go to the Gospel of John. We're going to begin in 8. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he says, and when he has come, he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord, his Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is already judged. It's judged. That's Satan. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And the key scripture here in this lesson, it says, however, in verse 13, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Amen? This is the word of the Lord, church. This is a beautiful, beautiful promise from God Himself. The Holy Spirit will show you and I things to come. If you will listen, amen, and receive this amen. Ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will change your life. May I ask you, has the Spirit of the Lord that is residing you, in you, has He changed your life?
Yes.
Just imagine the Spirit of the Lord being warning you of things to come. Don't you want to be in the know? Whether good or bad. It's the Holy Spirit that's the revealer, the Word says, of all truth, and He will tell you about things to come. Right?
Yes. Amen.
If we had an ear to listen, and I'm going to include myself in here because I don't always listen, we would avoid many problems that tend to creep up on us, wouldn't we?
Yes. Yep.
Just like Satan, right? Satan comes, and he comes in quietly, suddenly, and even subtly, right? Like he comes very quiet, sneakily, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy our peace, our goals, our joy, our strength, and he creeps in, right? But the Lord Jesus
yes.
has just revealed through his word there is a whole new way of relating to God, and that is through the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful promise from God. That
yes.
we can have a relationship, we can have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He's He's showing us. He's talking to us. We're communing together. He's giving us the signs, the warnings of the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what the Spirit of the Lord does. Because he is the revealer of all truth. And this verse here is about believing on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We gotta believe on the Lord because he is the root of this. He is the root of everything. We read it before. He needed to go so that his Spirit can begin to reside in all who would believe and accept him as Lord and Savior over our life. So this is all about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Amen. Spirit Church came to reveal to us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We read that in verse 10. That means we have right standing with God right now. We are seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. We have right standing. God is well pleased with us because when he sees us, he sees his Son, Jesus, because we are spiritual beings now. We Amen. Resemble his Son. And God calls us his beloved. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, the Holy Spirit came. Like I said, he came and he came to give us life more abundantly, just like Sister Vinny just read. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, there is freedom. And when you're walking in freedom, you're walking in the abundant life that God called you to live in. And as we read from the Word, Satan has already been judged. He's a defeated foe. He's under our feet. The Lord Jesus already defeated him. He has absolutely no power except to deceive you.
Yes.
That's it. That's the only power he has. We have power. We have authority. We have dominion over the enemy because that's what the Lord Jesus gave us as believers of his word. Right? And even in verse 11, it says, you know, in 12, it says, you know, the Lord wanted to reveal so much more to the disciples, but he couldn't. It wasn't time yet because they wouldn't be able to receive it. But he said to them, wait for it. Just wait for it. Today we have it. The second we accept the Lord as Lord and Savior, he comes to reside in us. He begins to dwell in us. Amen. And here he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, how he will lead us into all things, even new things. So receiving, when you receive these revelations, church, from the Lord, it's the greatest promise that he can give you. It's a revelation. Receive this revelation that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He's guiding you. He's giving you discernment. He's telling you of things to come. He's revealing truth to you every single day through his word. And we have the greatest gift from the Spirit. We got his Spirit. We got his wisdom. And we can depend on the Holy Spirit today as believers. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for the Spirit of the Lord. I certainly would not be a pastor today. It was the Spirit of the Lord that brought revelation to me, revelation knowledge, through his word, and confirmed to me, yes, I want you to lead the church. I want you to shepherd the church. If God had not confirmed that word, I would not be here today. He revealed truth. But not only did he reveal truth, then he confirmed the truth over and over, and then he affirmed the truth of his word in my life through many signs. Because that's what the Spirit does. He's not a spirit of confusion or chaos or dysfunction. The Spirit of the Lord is truth. It's peaceful. There's liberty. And there's a knowing that you know that you know it is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. It is God Himself speaking to you. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the reality of this word right now. If you don't receive, listen to me, if you don't receive the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus right now is revealing in these verses, our further revelation from the Holy Spirit will be blocked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to receive this truth in order for it to work in our lives. We need not just to walk by saying, I'm a Christian. You know, you need to say, I'm a believer, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, because there is a difference. And if you don't follow, if you don't receive this positive ministry and work of the Holy Spirit, your revelation knowledge that is coming from heaven above, from God the Father, will be blocked. And that's a powerful truth that the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to us today. And what this is doing, this is elevating the vitality, the necessity of understanding and receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because it is an essential ingredient of revelation knowledge that we are receiving right now through the Word of God. Revelation knowledge. You know, a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember what I spoke to you about, sense knowledge versus revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge comes from God Himself. His revelation is truth. The word revelation is light. He's exposing truth. They're not lies. Satan is called the father of all lies. Sense knowledge is your five senses. Your sight, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you touch. That's the carnal. That's the flesh. We can't go by that. We got to go by revelation knowledge, the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is your greatest teacher. And His role is to coach you and lead you in victory in every area of your life. Amen. And a sign of spiritual maturity is learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. Or by Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is a person. It's one of the three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is being led by God. He's still God. And that is a sign of maturity when you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Do we miss it sometimes? Yes, we miss it sometimes. But that's okay, because the Lord says, just get right back up and keep going, because I'm going to steer you in the right direction. Because what the enemy intended for evil, God always turns it around for our good. And that's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's God. This is God's grace. This is His mercy. He's like, don't worry, child. I got you. I knew you were going to mess up anyway, because I know all things. But I know that inside of you, there's strength. There's power. There's authority. There's dominion. And if I say you can, then you can. You can do all things through me who strengthens you, says the Lord.
Amen.
Look, that's
Amen.
His word. Amen. And his word doesn't Amen. Lie. God doesn't lie. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. It says, but the Helper, speaking about the Holy Spirit, right? Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Amen.
We have the Word of God. Through the Word of God, the Lord is teaching us. Through the Word of God, the Lord is speaking to us. Through the Word of God, the Lord is communicating with us.
Amen.
This is His Word. The Holy Spirit is sent, church, to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance.
Praise the Lord.
So when you try to, like, where did I put my keys? Oh my God, I can't find my keys. Holy Spirit, help me. Where are my keys? I've done that so many times, and guess what? He will bring into my remembrance a picture or vision where I place them. That's the Holy Spirit. He brings all things through to remembrance, the words that the Lord Jesus has spoken to us. And this is another reality. There is no revelation knowledge apart from the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit. You gotta stay connected. You cannot go apart with, you know, you have to be, you have to remain bonded with the Holy Spirit. You gotta stay fully connected. Fully engulf yourself and saturate yourself in the Word of God. Because that's where the wisdom comes in. There is revelation knowledge every time you get in the Word of God. God is always revealing truth to us. You have a situation, go to the Word. You have a decision to make, go to the Word. Don't go to your spouse, don't go to your pastor, don't go to family members, don't go to Google. If you got a situation about a sickness, don't go to WebMD. Boy, that's going to put even more worry on you.
Yes.
You go to God.
Yep.
You seek Him first. Then you can go to a spouse. Who's filled with the Holy Spirit and say, hey, can we come in agreement and see if this is from God and see if this is where God is leading me, because I believe I heard from the Word this is the way He wants me to go. This is the way that we should decide on and how to resolve this situation. Can you come in agreement with me? And let's see what the Spirit has to say to both of us. Because the Spirit of the Lord will confirm His Word via your spouse, children, friends, pastor, doesn't matter, even through TV, television, through another minister. But God will confirm His Word, and He knows how you will receive it best. Sometimes even when we go to Facebook and we read a scripture on Facebook, that is God confirming the Word to you. Because He knows how He's going to get your attention. So if it's through Facebook, He will speak to you through there. If it's through a movie that you want to watch, He will speak to you through there. Amen?
Amen.
Bottom line is, God is faithful. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's go to verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, and let's go to verse 9 and 10. Look at what it says. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Love. Amen.
Do
Amen.
We love God? Do we love God?
Yes.
Absolutely. Verse 10.
Amen.
But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
Amen. Amen.
Man, the deep calls the deeper, doesn't it? What a powerful scripture. Paul was not saying that people are ignorant, right? I have not seen. He's not saying that we're ignorant. Instead, he was stating the impossibility, listen to me, the impossibility of people understanding God's wisdom through their own mental abilities, sense knowledge. You cannot understand the things of God through your five senses.
That's right.
It is only through the revelation knowledge, the wisdom of God, that you will able to understand what God is speaking about. Because he's going to reveal all things to you if you have an ear to hear what his Spirit is saying through the Word of God. You just need to be open to it. Now we just read. Now, those people who do not love the Lord cannot tap into God's wisdom.
That's right.
But the Lord has made provision, church, for those who love him, for those that are willing to receive this supernatural wisdom, because it is supernatural. It is not, it's not natural. It doesn't come from your five senses. It comes from revelation knowledge. It comes from the Spirit of God. It's supernatural wisdom. And every believer can access the wisdom of God through the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. We
Amen.
Have it. We have access to it. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in us.
Yes.
The Lord did not give his wisdom to man. Instead, man was made to be dependent on God to impart his supernatural wisdom as needed.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to repeat that again because I think this is a powerful statement.
Yes.
The Lord did not give his wisdom to man. Instead, man was made to be dependent on God so that he can impart his supernatural wisdom as needed. I don't know about you, but I need his supernatural wisdom every day.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I need you. I can't do this walk by myself. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me into all things here. Whether good or bad, you warn me, Lord. Tell me where not to go. Shut that door if it's not for me. Open doors that are for me. He's the one guiding. He's the one leading. Listen,
Amen.
People on their own are incapable of receiving the wisdom of God.
Right.
Because we just read in these verses, because it describes that those who submit themselves to God have access to the wisdom of God through the Holy Spirit. That means, church, we have full access to the wisdom of God. It's there. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's a promise. It's there. You can tap into it. You can ask. What does the word say? Ask and you will receive.
Continue.
God wants to answer you. God wants to commune with you. He wants to reveal truth to His children. He loves to talk to us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Second Corinthians, the next book. I almost went to that verse 14 again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
It says, now thanks be to God who always, does it say sometimes? It says, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. That's pretty powerful right here. Amen. Here, Paul prays God for always leading us, right, in a triumphal victory because we have union with Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know if you look at Paul's life. He pretty much triumphed in every area in his life. Yes, he went through some trials. Yes, he went through some sufferings. Yes, he went through a lot. But God saw him through time and time again. Amen?
Amen.
Because even Paul says, you know, even through this, I'm going to praise the Lord. Even though I'm going to praise the Lord. Because he knew, he had revelation knowledge that no matter what he was going through, he will be victorious over it.
Amen. God was with him. Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
And in Paul's day, right, the word was, this word, triumphal victory, right? This word was associated with the triumphal procession. It's almost like a parade. You know when you go to Disney and they always have a parade on Main Street and they show all the characters of Disney and people are just watching and enjoying the parade? So in those days, in Paul's days, they had, you know, the Romans would have triumphal procession, a procession of victory because maybe the Roman general, victorious in some area. And so when a Roman general, right, had won maybe a notable or remarkable victory, he would march with his armies through the streets, followed by his captives. And then the spoils of those battles would be displayed and given to the people that were there watching. And then censors were also carried during that time in this parade and dispensed a pleasant aroma. So what Paul is stating here, that when we share in Christ's victorious procession, we always come on top. We are always victorious. We, as children of God, we can share in His victory through the cross, through the finished work of the cross. He already defeated the enemy at the cross. So guess what happens? We can also defeat the enemy by the word of God because of the cross. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we too are victorious. Then we too are triumphal in our victories. Whatever we go through, we win. Because Amen. In Christ, we always win. In Christ, we have the victory. In Christ, we're no longer victims, but we are victors in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Paul is also alluding to the censers, right, of the sweet aroma as being like the knowledge of Christ, spreading everywhere. Doesn't aroma spread, scent spread everywhere? But man, we can smell the victory from far because we're like, okay, no matter what situation we're in, Christ, we're winners.
Right.
So we're going to walk smelling that sweet smelling aroma of victory because we are His children. You got to know that you know that Satan is a defeated foe already, and he's under your feet, and he has no power, dominion, or authority over you. We win.
Amen.
In our story, we win. God is writing our book. God is the author and finisher of our faith, and we win. Because in Christ, we are victorious. In Christ, we triumph.
Amen.
Just like Paul did. In Christ, he triumphed in every area. Even though he suffered and all that, he was still victorious. Because again,
Amen.
What the enemy intends for evil, God will always turn it around for our good.
Amen.
And that can be a life scripture. That was a life scripture in my life when I was going through one of the darkest times in my life. And God turned things around for my good. Was it easy? No. Did I suffer? Yes. Did I shed many tears? Yes. Did I sweat what I thought sometimes was blood, sweat, and tears? Absolutely. I went through it. But God, he delivered me. Through him, I had the victory. And I always had it. I just couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel at that time. I was new as a believer. Today, ain't no stopping me. I know who I am
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what God wants. God wants you to receive revelation knowledge, to know who you are in Christ. Just like Sister Vinny read before, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where there is freedom, that means that you know who you are in Christ, you know your identity in Christ, and you can live the abundant life that God called you to live. Every day, not just once a week, not twice a week, not three times. Every single day, you can live an abundant life if you access what's already in the inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to Romans 8:14. The book of Romans. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The reality is that some people have tried to make a distinction between being a child of God and a son of God. They say, a child of God is any born-again believer, while a son of God refers to a mature Christian. And I think we touched upon this last time, right? Let me tell you, a child of God and a son of God, what the Lord means, what the word means here, is a believer. It's a person that has accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? So don't question it. You know, when the word talks about you are a son of God, he's really referring to men and women.
Yes.
A child of God, the word's referring to men and women. We,
yes.
Like I said before, we've been accepted, adopted, called, chosen by God. We are an heir to Jesus Christ. We are an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. And we see that,
Amen.
You know, the words being interchanged throughout the New Testament, son of God, child of God, and these words apply to all believers. We are the sons of God. We are children of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. And as children of God, guess what? We have intimacy with God the Father. There's intimacy between
Amen.
The believer and God the Father. That relationship that was severed and broken in the Garden of Eden now has been fully restored, fully redeemed through the work of the cross.
Amen.
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 This is good news that we can have a relationship with God the Father. He is Abba God. We cry out, Abba God. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. Man, He cares for us so, so much. There's not one thing that the Lord God wouldn't do for us. He's always steering us in the right direction, where the enemy is always putting up traps, snares for us, so we can fall and get hurt. But God is not a God like that. No, He is a good and caring, loving God. Truly loves us unconditionally. And we got to see this. We, you know, I think the first thing that we need to acknowledge and really believe that God loves you unconditionally. Because that's where it all began. For God so loved the world. He loved you so much that He came to redeem you. Amen?
Amen.
God is so good. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, He is.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving us the way you do. Hallelujah.
Never leaving us.
Yes. Hallelujah. Even through our faults, failures, you know what? God doesn't see the physical. He doesn't look at our minds. He looks at us spirit to spirit. And in His eyes, we're perfect. We really are. There's no guilt, condemnation, shame. We are perfect in His eyes. No matter we fail this day, that day, or whatever. When He sees us, we're perfect in His eyes. And how does He lead us? Well, God will not speak to our intellect, carnal mind, or through our body. God will enlighten us, right? And inform us through His Spirit. Revelation knowledge. Amen. Look at what Romans 8:16 says. Just go down to the verses. It says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that
we are
children of God. We are His children. The Lord Jesus sent His Spirit, who is constantly assuring us of this reality, of this truth. We have been forgiven. We are loved unconditionally by God the Father. It has to be your reality. You have to know that in Christ, He loves you. You're forgiven. You have been saved. You have been delivered. You have been restored. And you are healed in the name of Jesus. You have to have that revelation knowledge because it's a reality. It's a truth. It's a promise from God. Without the Holy Spirit, our ministry, salvation would just be blind faith. But with the Holy Spirit ministry, there is an assurance. There is a confidence that you have to know that you know. See, I know that God loves me.
Amen.
And it's just not carnal. This is spirit to spirit. My spirit is bearing witness that God loves me. There's no doubt about it. This is the inward witness that we have. What is the inward witness? If you go to a courtroom, right? A witness is called in a court of law, right? And he's either going to approve or disapprove, agree or disagree, confirm or even oppose what he hears from the prosecutor or maybe the defender. How does the Spirit bear witness? He will bear witness in your spirit with the peace of God. See, you got to know that you know, man, God, I know you love me. And this is something that you may got to speak it out loud in order for you to really begin to believe God truly loves me unconditionally.
Amen.
If you messed up last night and maybe you sinned last night, it doesn't change doesn't change God. It may change you, how you see yourself now. Maybe you see yourself ashamed because of what happened last night. But God doesn't change. He sees you the same way. He's still loving you and will continue to love you even through your failures, even through your mishaps. Even if you miss him, even if you miss an opportunity with him, doesn't change how God loves you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is always for us, never against us. I cannot say it enough. God is for you. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. God is good. That's it. That just seals it. We serve a great God. It seals it for me. Colossians 3:15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Right? So, God's peace, right? This is not the world's peace. This is God's peace. It's something that every one of us, every born-again believer, right, has. It is the fruit of the Spirit. If you go to Galatians 5, 22, you're going to read about the fruit of the Spirit. And peace is always umpiring, right? Like we have an umpire in baseball games and, to tell you whether you're out or safe or whatever, right? Well, the peace is always umpiring. We just don't always pay attention to it. How many times have we acted contrary, right, to the peace in our hearts? I know I've made a lot of decisions in my life, and I went through with them even though I wasn't at peace with it. But yet my rebel mind, my carnal mind said, no, why don't you just go ahead and do it? And I totally ignored the warning signs of God. How many of us have been there? I know I'm not the only one. And I have missed it. And after, you make that decision carnally, a fleshly decision, and then you're faced with some sort of disaster or commotion or confusion, and you sit back and say, you know what? I never had peace about this. And you look back when you made that decision, and in reality, you were never at peace with that decision in the first place, but yet you decided to go ahead and go through with the way your mind was looking at things. That is sense knowledge. That is allowing your body, your mind to decide for you instead of allowing the Holy Spirit and asking him, what should I do? And if you would have heard the inner witness or heard a small whisper voice from the Lord, or at least maybe remain still for like 10 minutes, you would have known that you were not at peace with the decision. But yet, in our carnal mind, we go ahead and we do things, and then now we have to suffer the consequences. But yet, God is still faithful. Because when we come in and we say, oh man, we missed it. Oh my God, I repent. Lord, sorry. God, get me out of this mess. Guess what he does? Because he loves us. He wants the best for us. There's benefits when we listen to the Holy Spirit all the time. Let's go to the book of Isaiah 55:12. Isaiah, hi. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 55:12 says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." So, what is it saying? The Lord, the Lord's benefits, here they are. The Lord's benefits of our salvation are so great. You gotta see all the benefits of our salvation. They're so great that even creation will rejoice with us. Hallelujah. Creation will clap with us. They'll sing with us. Amen. Everything around us will be joyful because there are benefits when you are born again. There are benefits when you are saved. There are benefits when you choose to be a son or daughter of God. There are benefits. And I'll tell you again, when you receive healing, I mean salvation, you receive healing. You receive deliverance. You receive restoration if you want it. You have total access. You already got it. You just got to grab hold of it and say, Lord, I want this. I need you, though. I need you to help me. Amen? Because like Amen. I said in the past, the day you get born again, guess what? You still have the same body. You still got the same shape. You're still tall. Your mind's still the same. But your spirit is what was born again. Your spirit has changed and transformed by the word of God, by faith. That's what took a turn. It was dead, but now it became alive in Christ Jesus. So yes, Amen. We can rejoice. We can go and clap hands. This is why we rejoice. We say hallelujah. We praise the Lord because now there is freedom in us. And we can Amen. Rejoice because now we have been accepted, appointed, adopted by the Lord. We are His children. Amen. And now the peace Amen. Of God that surpasses all understanding now is residing inside of you. It's not as the world gives it. That's why when you have to make a decision, hey, lean on the Lord. We're going to go a little further on that. Amen. But let's go to Isaiah. I love the scripture. Isaiah 26:3. Let's go there. 26:3. The book of Isaiah. It says, you will keep him, talking about us, God will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, capital Y, right? Because he trusts in you. Amen? So the Lord will keep us, believers, right, in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on him. Our imaginations, our minds, what we're thinking, what we're pondering on, what we're meditating on, is all about God and His Word. Amen? So we got to have our minds focused on the Lord to the degree that we start walking by faith and not by sight. To the degree that we start walking in revelation knowledge and not sense knowledge. Amen? That's the true walk of a believer. They walk by faith, not by sight. Because your sight will deceive you, but your faith will keep you right there with the Lord. In victory. In the truth. In the light. Amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord works, you know, it's let's look at it as a traffic light. A traffic light, right, will show you to go, slow down, right, or to stop. You have a green light, you have a yellow light, and you have a red light, right? So when we look at the red light, what does it tell you? It says stop, go no further. And a red light in the Spirit says check, there's a check in your spirit. There's an uneasiness in you. There's a strong sick feeling to show you to stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're deciding. Right? And even that red light within your spirit may even keep you up at night. I mean, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes I'll go to bed with this thought, with this worry, with this struggle, and the spirit is just keeping you up at night, because there's something that either we need to pray for, we need to speak in tongues, we need to pray for somebody else. It depends. God will show you. But you need to, like, stop. Just stop. Be still before the Lord. Allow the Lord to minister to you. Because there's something. If he's telling you to stop, just stop. We need to be still and hear what the voice of the Lord is trying to say to us. That's why we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit at all times. What does an orange light or a yellow light, right? It teaches us to slow down, pay attention, and only move when you feel safe to move, right? That's a warning light. Sometimes we as drivers, we pass through the yellow light, but as soon as we see the yellow light, it is the time to slow down. And if you can, you should stop. If you can't, then just go with cautious. What about a green light? A green light tells you, just go. Go ahead. Everything's good. It's like when we're driving, right? You see a green light? It says, you just go. Keep driving. It's safe to drive. Amen?
Amen.
And with the Spirit, when you have a green light, there's such a peace. There is such a peace in your spirit. Lord, is this what you want me to do? It's like when I needed to change jobs, I said, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Should I quit my other job and go with this job? And I had such a peace. And he even confirmed, because the Lord, I told you, the Lord confirms his word. There's such a peace. And he says, yes, go ahead. And I felt the go ahead from the Lord. I felt the green light that he gave me. And when you have peace, for some reason, you get excited, right, about it. You get excited about the decision you just made. And you know it's the right decision because there is peace in you about it. Amen? So we have the Spirit of the Lord giving you the signs, you know, red, yellow, and green light. He's the one that's always talking to us, teaching us, guiding us. Are we listening to what the Spirit is saying to us? That's the key. And I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, because it's already, I think I've gone enough. But, you know, when we read in the book of Acts, around chapter 16, you know, the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go to different places to preach the gospel. He says, no, it was like the Spirit of the Lord gave Paul a red light. Many times he's told them to stop, right? But Paul, you know, he's the one that started so many churches and spread the gospel in so many different ways. But in the book of Acts, we read about a time where the Holy Spirit just told Paul, don't go here, but go here instead. And when he went with his companion Silas, right, that ended up going to this city, and for some reason they ended up in jail, right, in a dungeon in Philippi. But the reality is, if you remember the story, when Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord, the prison doors opened. But in that craziness, again, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it around for his good. It, even though he went into jail, right, the Holy Spirit told him to go here. He ended up in jail. It was something bad, but yet, the jailer and all his family became saved through Paul preaching the good news of his word. So you got to go to the book of Acts chapter 16 to read about it. We're short on time right now. I didn't realize. Amen. But again, you know, the Lord may be telling you to go somewhere and you're like, I don't know if I want to go there, you know, but if you go, amen, even though that it may be uncomfortable, God will turn that around for your good, because God knows what's going to take place when you go and share the good news of the gospel. Because God turns things around for your good. And a lot of times God wants you to step out of your comfort zone because God wants to use you in very mighty ways, and we hold back because of fear, intimidation, whatever it is. But the reality is that obedience is better than sacrifice. When the Lord and the Spirit says go, you need to go. You need to go because God knows what's ahead of you. You may not, but He does. But if God tells you to go, it is safe to go. So we just need to go and obey the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go quickly to Psalm 127:2. I promise I'm almost done. There is so much to say about this. 127:2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Amen. So again, we don't need to worry. We don't need to fear. Amen. But we do need to know that we need to be dependent on God because God is our source. We should be able to, like the word says, the Lord will give us, and He does give us, perfect sleep, perfect peace. But we need to turn things around and not rely on sense knowledge, rely on revelation knowledge, and know that God is our provision. God is our provider. He's the one that we need to trust in, not on ourselves, not on our own abilities. Don't trust man, but we need to trust Him. Because we now have the peace that allow us, right, to quietly rest in Him. The Spirit of God is rest for us. It's liberty for us. And when we believers put our whole trust in the Lord, that Jesus died to give us, that the Lord so willingly gave up His Son to give to us, we will live, amen, a peaceful life in Him, not in us, not in the world, but in Him. We can live a peaceful life in Him. Because when we are in Christ as believers, we should not be moved by what we see, what the news are saying, what's happening around us. When we have the peace of God, We can rest in Him, and we can sleep through the night. We need to rest on the Lord. We need to know that God truly, truly loves us. And when we do that, when we put our true trust in Him, when we put our confidence in Him, this will allow us to sleep well at night. Like you've never slept before. And let me tell you something else. Sleep is a gift from God. But a gift has to be opened to benefit you. And not just open, you need to receive it as well. So when God gives you, He's giving us so many gifts right now as a believer. We need to grab hold of that gift. Open that gift and receive that gift with love and by faith, because God has so much more that He wants to do in us. So the Holy Spirit will give you signs. Decisions that you need to make will be divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit if you seek His counsel.
Amen.
And sometimes we gotta stand and say, do I go to do I stop? Do I slow down with safety? And when you do that, an alarm will sound in your spirit. And that is the inner witness. That sometimes might sound like an alarm going off on the inside of your spirit. But it will sound because maybe there's a situation that is urgent that you need to take care of. Maybe there's danger ahead of you. Maybe somebody needs prayer. We don't know, but the Spirit will sound the alarm, will place somebody in your mind, will tell you of things to come. And that's when You need to know that you know, especially when God places somebody in your mind, just stop what you're doing and just lift up that person in prayer. Because you never know what that person is going through. But if God placed that person in your mind, in your vision, and gave you that vision of that person, stop what you're doing and lift them up in prayer. So in closing, church,
amen.
The Spirit of Truth, as we read in the Gospel of John 16:13, when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, like He has come to us, He will guide you into all truth. And the reality is that this world right here, we live in a world that is full of deception, confusion, and compromise. We hear so many ministers right now compromising the Word of God. We compromise the Word sometimes. Amen? But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth because He's the one that's revealing Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the Spirit of Truth that illuminates Scripture for you when you read it, when you study it. You see, it's not enough to read it. You need to study the Word of God. It is the Spirit of Truth that exposes deception. It exposes the lies of the enemy. It gives you discernment of the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is the Spirit of Truth. It is the Spirit of Truth that will guide every believer in righteousness. You got to know without a shadow of doubt that you have right standing with God, that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of Truth never contradicts the Word of God. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks, He always agrees with Scripture. So when you get a dream or a word maybe from somebody, does the Word agree that they're giving you with the promises of God, with the Scripture of the Lord? Amen. This is your life right here. So before church, before believing every voice, every trend that's out there, every teaching, compare it with the Word of God, and the witness of the Spirit of Truth will reveal the Word to you time and time again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you receive this word. I pray that you would take this word and take it, meditate on the truth that was spoken today. Lord God, I just thank you for this word, Father God. You are revealing truth to us day after day, Lord God. And Father, we declare to you right now that we are not leaning on sense knowledge no longer. We are going to lean on your revelation, the Spirit of wisdom that is always revealing truth to us, always illuminating our minds when we ask. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the warnings, for the red light, for the yellow light, and for the green light, Lord God. Thank you for bearing witness in our spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, because your word says that my sheep hear my voice, and that of a stranger he will not recognize or hear. So, Father, we thank you for your word because it is living. It is our bread of life for us. It is our manna. So, Father, we give you the glory for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything you're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.